136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that we, who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished, by the comfort of thy grace may mercifully be relieved. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Old Testament reading for Lectare is from the 49th chapter of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pasture shall be on all desolate heights. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water he will guide them. I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highways shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, from those from the north and the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from the 4th chapter of Galatians. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. This is the word of the Lord.
I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abided forever.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5, with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. sermon text is from John chapter 6. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Saint John records for us this account of the feeding of the 5,000. He clearly presents to us the situation that is at hand. However, it was not until much later that John discovered that Jesus knew what he was going to do all along. At the time, the disciples didn't even have an inkling of what was going on. Their ignorance on their behalf was not due to Jesus trying to keep it from them. No, not at all. There were hints all along the way, but these disciples did not get the hints. A few things you need to know. We learn from St. John that Jesus had done actually many miracles already by the time we get to this text. You need to know that John never uses the word miracle in his gospel. When he speaks of those things, he calls them signs because they are like a sign which always points to something else. The miraculous signs are designed to reveal that Jesus is the Son of God. And once you know that Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah in the flesh, then you would listen to him and you would trust in him for salvation. And also, St. John tells us up front that the faithless crowds are simply miracle chasers. John says, "A great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased." They are following Jesus to see the show. Yes, that Jesus had done miracles before is the first clue. They're following Jesus in order to see the show. But that Jesus had done miracles before is the first clue that lets us know that the disciples, the apostles, should not have been surprised by a miracle. But in this text, we see that they are. That's the first clue. The second clue. It comes in verse 5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" St. John is the only gospel writer that lets us know that Jesus asked this question, but he asks it at the beginning of the day, early in the day, way before there is any problem. Even while the crowds are just starting to arrive, Jesus is asking about providing dinner for the crowds. Jesus and his disciples had crossed over the boat earlier so that he could have a quiet time with the apostles in teaching them. While he is teaching them, he looks up. The crowds have gone around the lake. They've caught up with him. And the second clue is, why would Jesus be asking about dinner for the crowds when it was only, let's say, 10 a.m.? Jesus already had plans to do a miracle. The third clue comes when Jesus does not stop teaching, nor does he send the multitudes away to go back to their homes and out to the surrounding towns. He's out in the wilderness, but he doesn't do that. They're out there, and Jesus knows the situation. It's not that the time had gotten away from him and he just kept teaching and didn't know what he was doing. No, it was intentional. And this is no conspiracy theory. Jesus intentionally creates the situation by continuing to teach. And John writes after the fact that Jesus himself knew what he would do. However, John and Philip, the rest of the apostles, didn't figure that out at the time that Jesus asked.
Earlier in the day, Philip flippantly answers Jesus' question by expressing the impossibility of barely giving each person in the crowd a bite when he says 200 denarii worth of bread, and that's barely a little bit. The fourth clue comes much later in the day when the disciples start to see the situation developing. It's getting late. I don't know, 3, 4, 5 p.m., something like that. St. Matthew records that the apostles take it upon themselves to tell Jesus what to do, as if somehow he didn't know what the situation was. They tell him, send the crowds away. And Jesus says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, at this point, you might think that they would have thought about one of the other miracles. They might have thought of the wine which Jesus furnished at Cana, but no, they don't. They scrounge together 5 loaves and 2 fish, but once again, it's the impossibility of it, saying, but what are they among so many? The fifth clue is when Jesus tells the people to sit down. I don't know when they figured it out, but it's at this point, it still hasn't registered, and they don't, again, have an inkling of that he's going to do a miracle. Well, I can read the signs. The only reason that mom says, come to the table, is because she's going to feed you. Dinner is ready. When Jesus has the people sit down, the expectation from the people is that Jesus is serving dinner. And he does a miracle. Oops, pardon me, I should have said sign. He performs a sign, a miraculous sign. And this sign reveals that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Now, Moses explained to the Israelites that when the promised Messiah would come, he would be a prophet like Moses himself. However, if you didn't listen to that great prophet who was to come, you would face the judgment. So to finish up the account of this multitude, who finally do recognize Jesus as the promised Messiah, just as Moses had predicted he would come, but then they don't want to listen to him. Again, we know about the crowds, John has already told us. They decide, these miracle teachers, they decide that Jesus would make a good bread king. Yes. Not the Savior, not the one that they want to hear his teaching and be saved, a bread king, and they try to take Jesus by force, and he slips away into the mountain by himself. 5 clues. Now for the application. Today's collect begins with us expressing our sinful condition. We say, we who for our evil deeds do worthily deserve to be punished. That's true. Yes, I do understand that due to our sinful condition, you know, what we deserve. And yes, we don't always know the will of God. And we too often look to our own hopeless condition in despair. Like Philip, we say, it's impossible with the money that we have. Like Andrew, we say, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Whatever we have in our house, it's not enough. We're convinced our goose is cooked. We're in over our heads. Woe is me. Furthermore, these difficult situations cause us to remember our sinful thoughts and words and deeds. We know that we deserve God's wrath and punishment for our disobedience and lack of love. So when things happen, we are convinced, yes, we're getting what we deserve. But let me remind you that we have a God of love. We have a God who is love. And the scriptures tell us in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what he wants. Furthermore, God directly tells us in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. So the application is this, that our God has been giving us signs all along, and he desires to show us his mercy. How long will it be for the rest of us to realize that, well, the collect is true when it says, by the comfort of thy grace, we may be mercifully relieved. God wants to relieve us. Yes, I know what we deserve, but God wants to relieve us. How long before we realize? How many signs will it take for us to know that God is not giving us what we deserve? When the scriptures state of Jeremiah, well, it's also true for us. In Jeremiah 1, verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. The first clue for us is that God wishes to bring you relief by the comfort of his grace. The first clue is your birth. You see, God made you begotten, a birth. He didn't create you with the idea that somehow, yeah, I think I'll make something so I can punish it. No. He created you because he wanted to love you. He knew what you would be even before he formed you in the womb. And he determined to bless you with physical life and then, well, and then bless you through faith with the spiritual life. The second clue is a sign of God's love, is the situation by which you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, that's a second clue. Personally, I was born into a Lutheran family, a Christian household. But that means that our Lord had been working for many years. When my great-grandfather raised my grandfather in the faith, who raised my mother, who taught me. And that's what it took to save me. Now, some will say they came to faith through a spouse who brought them to church. In other words, God was willing to be a matchmaker for the opportunity to make you a disciple. Others will tell you it was a friend, it was a pastor who told you about Jesus and explained the way of salvation. No matter what the story, I tell you there was a long chain of events that our Lord orchestrated so that you would be called by the gospel and enlightened with his gifts. Now, I know that some think that professing the faith somehow, it has to be your own idea. It has to be your own decision. Those who say these things are simply a braggart or someone who doesn't realize that things are out of our control, that our God is working. They were probably people like that in the multitude of miracle seekers, and yet they came to faith that day. They may have come for one purpose. Oh, yeah. But the Lord taught them. He taught them all day. And his purpose was to create and strengthen faith in who he was. That he was the Savior. The third sign of God's love is that you actually did come to believe. Yes, we know that our faith is not our own doing. The Small Catechism says, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. The fourth sign is that you're sitting here right now. Right now, being enlightened by the reading and the preaching of the word. You're being sanctified, for here is where the Holy Spirit is working. When you come to church and confess your sins and sing the hymns, you are leading the holy life which he has given you by what you say and do. The fifth sign is when the Lord places in your mouth the body and blood of his Son. It is a miraculous sign of his love for you. He desires to forgive you. He desires to live in you. John 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus proceeds to wash his disciples' feet that he might show them his intention to wash away their sins. He institutes the Lord's Supper on the night that he was betrayed, that we might receive forgiveness as we do it in remembrance of him. It's a sign that points to his love for us. Though we deserve to be punished for our sins, our God has performed a miraculous sign, which by the comfort of God's grace, we have been mercifully relieved. You see, John wrote, and he wrote after the fact, that he himself knew what he would do. How long before we come to realize the signs of God's love towards us? For when you see it, and you come to believe in him, you will say, along with our psalmist, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in me, page 143, we stand.
Create in me a
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, everlasting Father, you have raised up a prophet like Moses from among us, and that is Jesus, your Son, our Lord. He has far surpassed Moses, and he supplies all of our needs of body and soul. To you we give thanks. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We ask that your church in times of testing would not turn from our Lord's provision, nor exchange the church's inheritance for a bite of bread, but that she would recognize her inability to provide for God's sheep and trust in Jesus, who provides in abundance. We ask that the proclamation of the gospel in every land and place would produce abundant fruit. Grant mercy to our congregation that we might hold to your saving word, proclaim it with great joy. Bless our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, and all our pastors and other servants. Grant humbleness to those who lead. Heal divisions where they may exist. Give all members of our congregation an increase of faith and hope and love that they may ever trust in you. Bless Redeemer Lutheran Church in Cambridge, Minnesota, and her pastor, Pastor Mark Miller. We bring before you our children at our Learning Center, our teachers, director, and Keeley, to trust in Christ's provisions for their life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We ask that the governing authorities which you've placed over us, our President Joe, our Governor J.B., the Mayor Steve, the Congress, all who administer and judge our laws, that they would maintain peace and that the fruits of the earth might be distributed as daily bread to all. Grant protection to those whose duty it is to defend this nation, especially for Danny, Jason, and Blake, as well as for our police officers, especially Alex and Daniel. Watch over their families while they are absent. Guide our nation and its leaders that they would use military force responsibly in order to punish evil and reward good. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, your compassions never fail. Give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, peace to the sorrowful, mercy to every soul that is distressed, that they may find in you the help that only you can give them. Be with our shut in Carolyn, our elderly, Violet and Tom. Provide for the needs of Kevin. Also for Jack, who has cancer and has a meeting with the doctor this coming week, as well as with Jim, a friend of Cecil, who also is be placed upon hospice. Be with Levi, Anita, Paul, Larry and Deb, and Christina. Bless our students, Sarah, Sadie, Jonathan, Kara, Alexis, Cameron, and Benjamin and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right unto you.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. You bid your people cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast. Renew our zeal in faith and life, and bring us to the fullness of grace that belongs to the children of God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God,
Give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.